This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Lewis Cole is in a tough spot. His house on the seacoast of New Hampshire has been massively damaged by fire, and a hurricane is coming up the coast, threatening to knock it down. And to top it off, his former lover has come a-knocking, not because she wants to reconnect, but because she wants Lewis to find her new beau, a town councilor who has disappeared under mysterious circumstances. That's the premise of Blood Foam, the new mystery novel by Brendan Dubois, who joins me now to talk about it. Welcome, Brendan.
Peter, thanks. It's great to be here.
So Lewis Cole is back again in this ninth book featuring him. He's been around a while, but tell us about this guy. Who is he?
Lewis Cole is a retired Department of Defense research analyst who back in the day was injured in a training accident. In exchange for keeping his mouth shut, the federal government pensioned him off to a very nice home on the New Hampshire seacoast. And in agreement for keeping his mouth shut about what had happened, he gets a bit of a monthly stipend and works for a magazine. But he's haunted by what happened to him. So he has a sense of justice, of solving things, helping out his friends, which happens in Blood Foam. As you mentioned, Paula Quinn, an old girlfriend of his, seeks his assistance in tracking down her missing fiancé. And Lewis, although he despises the man, still holds a torch for Paula and says he'll do what he has to do to find him.
He has to really grit his teeth and go on with this, but he does.
He does. He'd rather sit on a couch and watch Oprah for a week and then come back and say, oh, couldn't find him, sorry. But he has a sense of honor and a sense of loyalty. And he starts looking for him, and he finds one small little fact that just doesn't quite make sense. And when he tugs on that little thread, everything breaks loose, and there's gunfire, there's chases. People start hunting him, and things get very tense very quickly.
Yeah, this is an action-packed book, and I was going to ask you about how you go about plotting a book with so much going on. Does it all come to you at once, or does it sort of follow thing by thing?
It sort of follows thing by thing. And in the Lewis Cole novels, there are some novels I would say are straight detective novels where there's a puzzle to be solved. In this one, the puzzle is to locate this man, Mark Spencer. But it's more, as you said, a thriller because there's a chase, there's a pursuit, there's gunplay. For those who are looking for a quiet, cozy, when nothing much happens in the drawing room or parlor, this is probably not the book for you. But if you want what I would hope is sort of an edge of your seat, what's going to happen next? Oh, my God, how is he getting out of this? I think Blood Foam will fit the bill.
What's your inspiration for Lewis Cole?
When I started thinking about writing detective novels back in the mid-1990s, it seemed to me that the field was overrun by private detectives or lawyers or cops. And being a former journalist, I thought, well, let's make our guy a newspaper reporter or a magazine writer, someone who has the ability to ask questions and poke around. And if a story doesn't appear, he can always blame it on an editor. But I knew I wanted something more depth to sort of propel him. Most of us, if we see a dead body on the side of the road, we'll leave it to professionals. But Lewis has his thirst for justice. He saw some of his friends get killed when he's in the Department of Defense, and that's what propels him. And he's an unusual character, I think, in the detective field, but I think he's a very attractive character.
This is the ninth book in the series of books you're writing about Lewis Cole. It's the first one I encountered, and I have to say that I didn't really feel left out of the story by coming into it in sort of the ninth installment, if you will. Is that something that you think about as you're writing these books in a series, how they will play in the minds of readers who perhaps haven't read the previous books in the series?
Peter, that's a very gracious observation. Yes, I always sit down at the keyboard and say, okay, this may be the seventh book in the series, the eighth book in the series. You cannot assume, you would hope, but you can't assume that your readers will have read all the previous Lewis Cole novels. And there's a balancing act where you have to sort of introduce new readers to the book. But then again, you don't want to bore your die-hard fans and saying, oh gosh, here we go again with the third explanation of how we got there and who he is. So it's a balancing act, but it's something you work with.
I read somewhere that you had originally wanted to start your writing career as a sci-fi author, but then made the transition to mystery. I was wondering how you made that transition.
That's a very good recollection. Yes, when I was young and a teenager, I loved science fiction. That's all I read, all I read. And then I started writing short stories in the mid-1980s and submitting them to science fiction magazines, and they all got rejected. Except one short story to me had a mysterious tint to it, so I submitted it to a mystery magazine, Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, and they bought it. That's when I sort of decided I wanted to be a mystery author. So I sort of backed into being a mystery author, but I never stopped my love for science fiction. In fact, next January, my first complete science fiction novel, Dark Victory, will be published by one of the largest science fiction publishers, Bain Books, and I'm extraordinarily excited about that. It's a dream I've had since I was 12, and to see it come true is pretty cool.
Is one harder to write than the other, mystery science fiction?
They're different, but I think what connects them is the urge to tell a story that something has to be going on. With mysteries, you're sort of more looking at what has happened, why did this happen? There has to be some sort of sense of resolution. In science fiction, you're looking at some aspect of the future or some aspect of the present technologically that affects people, that affects society, and that's sort of the basis of your story. But in both science fiction and mystery, I'd say the key thing is to tell a good story with compelling characters. Other than that, it doesn't work.
I have to ask about one detail in Blood Foam because it made me say, huh, I wonder if that's real or just made up for the sake of fiction. And it's the business about the Social Security numbers. The guy who disappears, they find out that he has a Social Security number.
That's right.
That links him to the state of Wyoming. That the first number had to do, oh, that's a Wyoming Social Security number. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. Your Social Security number reveals where it was issued from. So my Social Security number begins with double zeros, which means it's a New England Social Security number. And that's one of those little things that law enforcement use if someone comes in and says, well, I'm not from there. And they can say, well, your Social Security number says otherwise.
So what's next for Lewis Cole?
Well, I just finished the first draft, which would be the 10th novel of my Lewis Cole story. It's called Storm Cell. And I'm sort of stunned that I'm actually at book 10 Lewis Cole series. I've written a number of other standalone thrillers in short story collections, but Lewis still hangs around. And this one, Storm Cell, starts off with one of Lewis's best friends, Felix Tinius, is on trial for murder. And Lewis tries to find out why and tries to get him off. And, of course, there's all these obstacles tossed in the way. And it's a pretty intriguing mystery, if I say so myself.
I was hoping you would say he would get back together with Paula.
Maybe, maybe not. I will say this, that is addressed in this book. How's that for a Weasley answer?
Good enough. Brendan Dubois, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. It's been my pleasure.
That's Brendan Dubois, the author of Blood Foam, his most recent Lewis Cole novel. You can find a list of the top 5 books on Brendan's bookshelf at nhpr.org. And listeners like you have been weighing in on what they've got on their bookshelves. Barbie from Burlington, Vermont, wrote in to recommend Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. She writes, it is confusing, occasionally delightful, full of surprises, bizarre characters, and way too much information about things. It's almost like reading too much encyclopedia at one sitting, so I tend to limit myself to 10 to 15 pages a day. It gives me time to digest and make connections between the settings and people. It is also a book better read in a group, since it keeps the reader grounded and provides the opportunity for learning a different possible reading that may be more accurate than one's own. Well, whether you're reading a book as part of a book group or all by yourself, let us know about it. Write us an email. We're at books@nhpr.org. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. Thanks for listening. I'm Peter Biello.